diversity, diversity, diversity.
Here, that cause confusion.
How precious, moron.
Enid Blyton was a remarkable woman. Hugely prolific, she wrote over 700 novels and over 8,000 short stories. She invented some of Britain's best-loved franchises, including the Famous Five, The Secret Seven, The Faraway Tree, which was my personal favourite, and Mallory Towers. She once sued someone who claimed she employed a team of ghostwriters because she wrote every word herself on a typewriter. There is no reason not to believe this, because his style is incredibly distinctive. In fact, so distinctive is her style that when she started publishing books under a pseudonym, Mary Pollock, in 1940, readers instantly recognised that it was her. The ruse was up, and the books came back with her real name on them only 6 years later. Blyton never learned to touch type, so everything was done with just two fingers. She'd apparently start writing just after breakfast every day, and then would pause for a short lunch and continue up until 5:30 p.m. She repeatedly wrote around 10,000 words a day and went into each story with no plan. Some might call this automatic writing. She was quite repetitive, and certain words, tropes, situations, structures recur time and time again. But in the tradition of vernacular British popular culture, this familiarity is something readers find comfort and reassurance in. Blyton's world was essentially static, pre-industrial, rural, with a very strong moral order. This is how she sold over 600 million books. The establishment always hated her, to the extent where Blyton is one of the most banned writers in British history. Librarians claimed her work lacked literary merit, and from 1930 there was a blanket ban on Blyton in British libraries, which was only rescinded decades later due to her overwhelming popularity. The BBC had a blanket ban on Blyton also for many decades, not only because of her perceived lack of literary merit, but also because of her perceived xenophobia, racism, sexism, and other such retrograde attitudes at odds with the progressive status quo. It was said her characters do not develop into adults, do not change, that her world remains forever stranded in the illusionary moral certainties of pre-adolescence. In 2016, the Royal Mint blocked a move for there to be a commemorative 50 pence piece celebrating Blyton and her works. You'll remember the one that we got instead. And yet, Blyton remains popular. Her books still sell millions of copies despite all these decades of elite suppression. She once said of her critics that she is uninterested in the views of anyone over the age of 12. In this video, I want to concentrate on her short stories, often overlooked in favour of her better-known novels. When I was a child, I had a lot of these books from the Purnell Sunshine Library. They looked like this. And back home in Wales, at my parents' house, I still have them. And when I was back, I started reading them for my daughter. And I've acquired, recently, the entire 16-book series from eBay. It is not hard to get hold of these old books. They are everywhere. In car boot sales, charity shops, online. Everywhere. Because she was that popular. The more recent reprints have been silently edited to take out non-PC content and some of the harshness, like the smackings and so on, which of course will not do. You, if you're buying them today, ideally want them in their original form. There is a fantastic website called the Enid Blyton Society, which has a lot of information. The stories in these Purnell books are all taken from a weekly magazine Blyton wrote for many years, from the 1930s to the 1950s, called Sunny Stories, and later simply Enid Blyton's Magazine. These contained 5 or 6 original stories by Blyton. Considering she was pumping out famous Five and Noddy books during this time, it's extraordinary to think that she kept up with a commitment of bringing out that magazine every week. But she did. The stories are then collected in many different editions. For example, most of those in the Purnell Sunshine Library were previously collected in the Holiday Books, which are simply called the Holiday Book, the Second Holiday Book, the Third Holiday Book, and so on. They've been republished many times since by other publishers. Now, these short stories are admittedly quite formulaic. Typically, a child does something naughty or unwanted, and the behaviour is corrected through punishment and social stigma by the end. When I was a kid, one of my favourites was called Interfering Ina, from the book Anytime Tales, previously published in the 10th Holiday Book. In it, a girl called Ina is always sticking her nose into other people's business, but then a pixie makes her nose grow every time she does it, and so she stops. Simple stuff, nothing at all original. You'll spot where these ideas are taken from, I'm sure, but very effective for a 6-year-old. The one my 4-year-old daughter has been requesting a lot is called Polly's P's and Q's, where Polly is admonished by her aunt after forgetting to say please and thank you. We don't want horrid and rude little girls who are bad-mannered, do we? So every time Polly forgets, she has a P or a Q pinned to her dress, which of course she finds distressing and so quickly stops. And these stories are effective. My daughter is remembering now to say please and thank you, and all I need to do to remind her is to bring up this story. Another one I read recently features a pixie who is shamed by the local community after not cleaning her house and not washing her curtains. Everyone comments on how dirty her house is, and so she hires a cleaner who then ends up creating a lot more work for her than she anticipated, so she resolves to clean her house every week for a quieter life. A very similar plot is found in A Spell for a Lazy Boy. You get the picture. This might not win any Pulitzer Prizes, but they do a very good job of capturing the imagination of children. I have never forgotten these stories. My daughter has every type of kids' book imaginable, modern slop as well as classics. Go to enough children's parties these days and you'll end up with all manner of books, rainbow unicorns and all. And yet it's Blyton that seems to get her excited. Google buns and toffee shocks and a world that was considered antiquated, archaic, nostalgic and outdated even when she wrote them in the 1930s. But children don't want social realism. They respond well to these magical worlds with very strict moral orders. And I wanted to do my bit to celebrate a British hero and an institution, one the elites have always hated, but who the people have always loved, Enid Blyton.
I always wanted to write for children, but it never occurred to me as a child that I would ever be famous. I had 2 brothers who were younger than I was, and I used to tell them stories, which I enjoyed very much indeed.
If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just 3 of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.